Ladies and gentlemen, at this time I need you all to silence your cell phones and hold your applause till after we are finished.
And most importantly, shut your mouth, because United by Wrestling podcast is live, baby. I'm your host, Dust Instructions, my co-host.
The Shapester, baby.
And tonight, we actually got a special guest. We got RJ from Ringside Rant. How's it going, RJ?
Man, I don't know if I can outdo that intro, but it's glad to be here.
So before we get started, do you have any shows you want to plug, or what's going on with Ringside Rant? Give everyone the update, just in case they may not follow you.
Well, if you're not following, shame on you. But on a serious note, you can follow me across the Twitterverse at _ Ringside Rant. Pretty much, as you guys know, me. I'm so used to having a co-host, I say we, but have a interview pretty much every Tuesday, if the schedule permits. Sometimes it's Wednesday, sometimes it's another day, but weekly I have an interview with pretty much anybody and everybody in independent wrestling. I had recently one of your good buddies, John Schuyler, on from down there in the Carolinas. Great interview, great guy to talk to, great mind for the business. I'm kind of dabbling in a little bit of comedic relief, we could say. I'm having Corey Ryan Forrester coming up this week on the show. I'm sitting down with him tomorrow as we're recording. Tomorrow is a Sunday, so that will be coming out Tuesday. So kind of dabbling. He has a little connection with wrestling down in Alabama with Cassio Kid from the famous Conrad Thompson of Empire Podcasting. So just looking to dabble in a little bit of everything. I did a little bit of the wrestling, trying to get a little bit into music and comedy as well. So, but pretty much, if anybody that's in independent wrestling, I've had on a lot of good, great talent to just sit down and, you know, talk shop with.
And I saw your bio. Do you work with a promotion?
Yeah, I work for a independent wrestling organization here in Rochester, New York, called Upstate Professional Wrestling. I'm currently doing some backstage interview work with them, as far as, you know, producing, you know, those backstage interviews that you see a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. With you go all the way back to my day with Mean Gene Okerlund. and by no means am I relating myself or comparing myself to the great Mean Gene Okerlund by any means.
That's high standards, man.
Yeah, but it's we may have the same hairline, but you know, it's one of those things where I got familiar with their product here in Rochester since I've been out here in Rochester for probably about 12 or 13 years. I've been originally from Buffalo, so I've been moved out here, been with my wife for about 10 years, married, and always been a fan of independent wrestling. Going back to Buffalo, watching promotions out there, and then coming out here to Rochester, and started a podcast where I was kind of reviewing Raw and SmackDown, and this was before the Bischoff and Heyman regime. So it was pretty much, I hated podcasting because I had to watch Raw and SmackDown.
I agree with that. It's hard.
So I'm like, you know what, I gotta get away from this. So I started I started interviewing a bunch of independent wrestlers here in Rochester, and one thing led to another, and they said, hey, we're looking for some broadcast help as far as backstage and on-air broadcast help. I said, sure, I got the media background and love wrestling, so let's have at it. And that was, I'd say, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and haven't looked back since.
That's awesome, bud. As a guy that wanted to get into business myself, I can 100% agree with that. That's awesome. So,
yeah.
RJ is joining us, actually, to talk about a new thing we haven't really done here at United by Wrestling. It's a what-if scenario. It's actually one he pitched You know, so go watch his channel for any kind of episodes you might do with that. And I was down with that. So the scenario we're talking about today is, what if Stone Cold Steve Austin did not get fired from WCW? Isn't that a crazy thought, that what would happen if he didn't? Like, if he stayed there, we'd never got the Rattlesnake. Isn't that crazy to think about?
That's super crazy.
So,
yeah, that was, it's one of those things where, you know, every wrestling fan, and speaking for myself, and maybe I don't want to speak for you guys, but you always play at what if factor. You know, what if, you know, Stone Cold wasn't fired? What if, you know, Bret Hart never left WWE? What if McMahon, you know, got convicted? You know, so it's one of those things. We would have never seen this. We would have never seen that. And it was just one of those things where I'm like, man, what if this happened? And I'm like, okay, well, that's got to be some sort of segment somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. So just for a little backstory on Stone Cold Steve Austin, he was formerly known as Stunning Steve Austin. Yeah, what a gimmick. Blonde, the Rattlesnake with blonde flowing hair. That's just weird to think about after we all know who he is now. But he was in WCW. He won a couple United States titles and a couple tag team titles with the Hollywood Blondes, so with Brian Pillman, rest in peace. And they really never did anything with him. And they fired him via phone call. Eric Bischoff fired him via phone call because he did not like Austin's attitude and did not see drawing power in him. So I guess here's my question. What would the surface of pro wrestling look like if Austin was pushed to the moon like he was in WWE? Like, how would you see that? Like, do you think he would have been a quality world champion as Stunning Steve Austin, WCW?
Well, see, this is the thing for me anyways, is, you know, now we look at it being hindsight of what Eric Bischoff would have done with him, seeing that what he did with the NWO. I've always been a fan of Eric Bischoff, no matter what people have said. If given the right tools, you could have very well seen him, you know, what he would what he ended up being, if not more. Because if you think about it, you know, you had, you know, Luger come down, you had the Outsiders, Hall and Nash come down, you had Hogan, you had Savage, you had Piper, you had, and that's in an addition to what you already had in WCW, Sting, with, if Pillman would have, and I'm sure if Austin would have stayed, you'd see Pillman stay, and what could have happened with that type of feud that we almost saw that. We saw that a little bit in WWF with Pillman and Austin.
Pillman got the gun.
Exactly. And I just think may not be a popular opinion, is I would have trusted Heyman Bischoff with the book more than with Cornette in the WWF or Russo in the WWF.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think Bischoff has the better mindset of the old school wrestling mentality because he grew up around it in Michigan, Minnesota, that Midwest wrestling, that old Luthez wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And I may not have been, you know, champion or like heavyweight championship material right off the bat, but, you know, neither was Shawn Michaels, and look what ended up for him. He could have been very well U.S. title and then moved up to the heavyweight title, but, you know, like I said, only time. So, like I said, it always would depend on how Bischoff would book that, but I would have put my money behind Bischoff compared to, you know, what WWF was at that time.
So, all right. Alan, do you have any thoughts about that real quick?
Well, I mean, it's just like, I agree a lot on RJ's points. I would have trusted Bischoff behind all of that. I mean, it's just like, when you think back to even Austin's early career, I always thought that he had that star power in him. And it was like, even in his early WCW days, you saw something there, but it was just a matter of whether they wanted to pursue that or not. And I mean, in hindsight, you know, obviously they didn't see that, but I mean, I don't know if anybody else, you know, agrees with me, but you could always see that kind of desire there in him.
Yeah. See, the thing with Austin is even when he was stunning Steve, he had to look, as they like to say.
Oh, yeah.
The muscular, you know, physique and stuff. We all know how he can do on the mic. So I still am kind of like, why did he not pull the trigger? It's kind of like they had the same guys around that time because he got fired in 1995, so the NWO was not a thing yet.
Right.
But they were having the same guys. Like, Flair was very prominent in the early Austin eras before he left the WWE. So I guess maybe Bischoff wanted to stay with, you know, the established power because, you know, maybe he wasn't going to foresee what he was going to get into with the WWE or WWF. And so it's like, I think before they brought in all those guys, I think they should have tried to see what they had in front of them. But who would have knew, though? Like, he could have been a star, but who would have knew what he had to turn into? That's the thing, like, RJ was saying.
It's right,
like,
right.
Bischoff has a smart mind, and he could have, you know, he may have had some big plans, but I think, unfortunately, when the war started, he had to go with the old veterans, Hogan and all them when they came in, and Vader and all that. It's just like, what happens? And here's the thing, too. Think of it this way. Would have WWF won the wars if Austin didn't go over there and become who he became? What do you two think?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's we could look at it this way. They had, we'll say for argument purposes, WWF had The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
WCW had Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. What a great time to be a wrestling fan to have those two guys. To think that, you know, they would have Stone Cold Steve Austin what he was in WWF and WCW,
yeah,
and The Rock, and I'm like, that it basically, I would compare that to like a Sting and Flair kind of thing, as far as that competitiveness in possible different companies when Flair was in WWF in 92. Mm-hmm. But it's just, what I really think that there could have been something there with Bischoff, because I'm thinking I would see Bischoff booking him as a heel, not so much the fact of what Stone Cold Steve Austin was. I think he would have been something like a combination of a Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, and a Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Being with WCW, being a Southern style wrestling company, and Steve Austin being a Texas born and bred guy, do something like that as far as, hey, I'm from Texas, everything from Texas is bigger and better, and make all the fans absolutely hate him for that.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, Austin, his gimmick was kind of done before, like you mentioned, of hitting and stuff, so maybe he didn't stand out. And who knows what his attitude would have been. Maybe he did have a bad attitude of Bischoff. I have no idea. I just think that, you know, Austin, I'm just thinking of the feuds he could have had if they rolled the ball with him, though. Like, think about it, Goldberg. You know, a better NWO run. You know, they had that small one in WWE, but, I mean, Vince, I think, wasn't too huge on the NWO. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of like, they didn't let him, I feel like they didn't let him express himself enough. And Paul Heyman, I think that Paul Heyman, I know you said Bischoff, but I think Paul Heyman might be one of the greatest minds in wrestling. Because, you know, he untapped that potential in Austin.
Yeah.
And ECW. Mm-hmm. So maybe, who knows, like, what Austin would have been if he didn't even go to ECW. That's also crazy to think about. If he wasn't doing those promos at 4 a.m. and, what, was that Heyman's, like, basement?
That's what, like, it looked like.
So, I guess the thing, too, though, is, do you think The Rock could have, you know, beat? I mean, yeah, you had The Rock, Triple H, you know, all them, but do you think they could have beat, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Goldberg, NWO? You know, there's so much star power that would have been there if Austin stayed. That, do you think that The Rock and, you know, like Hunter and Mankind, all of them could have beat all that star power on their own? like Austin Rock kind of anchored. I feel like the Attitude Era for a good amount of part.
Oh yeah.
What do you think, RJ?
And I have anybody that's talked to me or seen me talk about wrestling knows that I am one of the components of saying that Goldberg is one of the most overrated wrestlers of all time.
I agree.
I know I'm not the only one that feels that way. And if you, like I said, looking back on it now, you know, looking at it, what we know, but even with an open mind at that time, I would have still said, even if they had Stone Cold Steve Austin-esque character with the likes of Hogan and Sting and Flair and Hall and Nash and the whole NWO, I still would have thought that the WWF would have beat him after a while, because the way that they were booking at that time with, you know, the likes of Triple H and Rock and Foley, even with the as bad as the tag team division was in the WWF, you still had the Dudleys, you still had the Hardys, you had Edge and Christian early in their career, you had the New Age Outlaws early in their career, you had that hardcore division, which as much as people want to, you know, crap on that as far as being, you know, the terrible division, it drew fans. It drew money, as much as you don't want to admit it. It really did, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, WCW was that old school wrestling kind of thing. Yeah. They basically went on their morals as far as, we're going to give you wrestling. We're not going to give you entertainment. The problem is, between 96 and 99, you needed the entertainment. They couldn't give two craps about wrestling.
Yeah.
And so but that's where I think WWF would have flourished no matter what. As big as Austin could have been in WCW, I don't think he could have carried that alone.
No, especially when the NWO came. They screwed. The whole WCW was a mess. You know, so he probably got out of there right around the right time, because when the NWO came, they brought the star power, but they had too much creative control and stuff. So even if they would have kept Austin, you know, would he have got to the top of those guys there, do you think? Because the NWO wanted all the matches. They wanted all the spotlight. You know, they had to pick who they wanted to lose to.
Well, I mean, we were talking about yesterday was, you know, look at the title reign numbers back in those, you know, it's like, I agree on that point of, could he have actually gotten there with the reigns that those guys wanted and with the creative control, like you mentioned? I mean, that's a really good point on that, especially.
Hey, do you think Austin, you know, RJ could have, with the NWO's creative control, do you think there would have been any chance, no matter what, even if Bischoff wanted to roll with him, do you think NWO would have put someone over like Austin? Just out of curiosity.
Well, see, this is the thing, because as you guys know, you go towards, you know, whether it's the beginning or the end of the NWO, everybody was a part of the NWO, no matter
what.
Towards the end.
Yep.
Because it was pretty much 90% of the roster was NWO at the end, and I'm exaggerating, obviously, but
it was close.
It was pretty darn close to that, but I would have really, to fantasy book it now, I would have even, you know, preferred to have Austin be the face of the NWO than Hogan. And have Hogan be the red and the yellow with WCW and have him go against the NWO. Granted, we would have never had, you know, the heel Hogan, you know, the black beard, the NWO thing. But, you know, I think it would have been better if Austin the heel was, you know, in charge, quote unquote, of the NWO, because we all know that, you know, Bischoff was pulling the strings backstage with it. But and even looking at hindsight, looking at them facing them, I really would have thought, because if you look at Hall, look at Nash, Hogan, what do they all have in common is the Southern wrestling mentality. Yeah. Even with Hogan being part of that Minnesota-esque training of basically, I'm going to break you down to build you up. that's what Austin turned out to be, is I'm going to break you down to build you back up. And that is, I would have rather seen them, you know, put over Austin than, you know, Bill Goldberg, the schmuck from the Atlanta Falcons, you know? And, you know, I'll probably be number probably 2000 on his block list right now. And, nice. And honestly, I'll take that and, you know, post that and tag that and pin it to my, to every single Twitter post that I have. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I will give Goldberg credit. He did put butts in the seats, and he made a lot of money. But this isn't 1996 anymore. This is 2019, and the only thing you can draw is he can't draw anything because he hit his head too much on the door. So I'm pretty sure he can't, you know, compete or anything like that anymore. So
you saw how that went, Taker. Great.
That was a good one.
Oh, jeez. You know, my grandmother got, you know, rest her soul. She's still with us. But as Alzheimer's, I'm pretty sure she could probably have a better match with Undertaker than Goldberg. So.
Oh, damn.
And yeah, I did open up that can of worms. So, that goes to show you how much disdain I have for Bill Goldberg right now. So, on a lighter note, actually, I like Brock Lesnar a heck of a lot more than Goldberg, believe it or not. At least he can actually do a wrestling move.
Yes, true.
But anyway, still Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's why we're here, folks.
You're on one hot take here, but
and that's why my show is called Ringside Rant, because I like to rant all the time. But yeah, I think Austin would have been, you know, a suitable character to go against the NWO and take him on, and, you know, potentially take him out.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, he would have been the perfect anti-hero to go against NWO. Like, he did have the Ministry, but, you know, the Ministry is a lot better, I think. But, you know, just imagine him, like, coming in, you know, beer bath in the NWO and, you know, coming in, whooping their ass from behind, you know, stunners and stuff. I just think that could have written itself so well. I mean, I know they were kind of doing that same thing with Sting for a while, though. So I guess, like, here's the flip side of things, since we're doing what-ifs. You know, you got me thinking about Goldberg now, RJ. Come on, man.
Sorry about that. You know, you're going to be thinking of Goldberg in your sleep tonight. That's a problem. You'd be jackknifing your pillow or something tonight. I'm going to be held accountable for that stuff, you know?
I may have to go down where you are and give you a spear. No, I'm kidding.
That's fine. They'll keep me out of work for a couple of days.
Oh, God. So Austin kind of also, you know, he kind of fell into, you know, some luck too, as we know, you know, he was on his way up a little bit, but, you know, he had a special promo, 1997 King of the Ring. I think everybody in this world knows it at this point.
Yeah.
But he wasn't supposed to win that King of the Ring.
Right.
So Triple H was, and as RJ, I know, mentioned he was going to talk about for a while, the curtain call kind of got him removed from that. So Austin got the spot. If Hunter did not do the curtain call, do you think Austin would have got that spot and became the big star he did? Because Austin 316 elevated him to a mega star.
Yeah.
I think we would have still seen him as the ringmaster, to be honest with you.
And
it pains me to say that, but you also have to look at it in this light too. Ted DiBiase would have never went to WCW. I think he still would have been with Austin in the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I wanted to think if Triple H did win, you know, the King of the Ring, I don't think we would have seen, you know, Hall and Nash go over.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine DX with Hall, Nash, Triple H, X-Pac, and Michaels?
Right.
And the turn of that, we probably would have never seen the NWO, but, you know, we very well might have seen some sort of faction to, you know, potentially, you know, go against DX. But, you know, I would have really, you know, I don't think that the WWF, pronouns, pal, would have seen, you know, the talent that they had in Austin either. Because I don't think, without that promo, I don't think we would have had Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, I don't think so either. That was his moment.
Yeah.
That was Austin's moment right there.
Yeah, because it's like, with that moment, the King of the Ring promo, it's like, if you look at every megastar that wrestling has ever seen, you know, pick any of them, megastar-level superstars, you can always go back and research their career, if, you know, to a point, and you can always find that moment that you can go, boom, there it is. There's the star-making moment of this superstar, and that was Austin's. And if he had not done that moment, you wouldn't have. I agree with RJ. He would have stayed as the ringmaster, and it wouldn't have, you wouldn't have been able to see what true potential was there if he had not said those words.
Yeah. That's crazy to think about. Imagine people not wearing Austin 316 shirts. Everybody in the back day, their mom, their dad, little Jimmy, all had Austin 316 shirts. Just to think that that wasn't there would be crazy. So, I think, you know, so, obviously, WCW dropped the ball on Austin, but who would have thought that? It's hindsight. And like RJ said, you know, if given more time, maybe they could have booked him heavier. But big thing about that is, I just sit here and wonder if, like, WCW would have gave him creative control, though. Because who was the one that, was it Russo that ripped Austin? Like, who decided to give him the nod for the King of the Ring? Like, once they decided Hunter wasn't going to win, was that just Vince? Like, anybody know? Like,
You know, I think it was a combination of a lot of people as far as whether it be, you know, Pritchard or, I really thought it was something-esque of Jim Cornette too.
Oh yeah.
Cause it just reeks of something Jim Cornette would say, you know, say Austin 316. Yeah. I don't know if I can swear on here, so I'm going to
go ahead.
You're more than welcome to.
But it just reeks of something Cornette would say. And like I said, that goes back to the old school wrestling mentality of, you know, you may not be able to, you know, produce in the ring right off the bat, but if you give one hell of a heel promo, you're over. More over, and on top of it, you take out a legend and future Hall of Famer like Jake the Snake Roberts, man, you're made in this. You're made, man.
Yeah, I agree. So, since we're all on Twitter, you know, since this is all tied into Austin, do you think Austin's gimmick would have worked with how Twitter is and how kayfabe's dead? Do you think he could have, you know, went? I wonder how much any of the Attitude Era would have went with Twitter nowadays. Do you think he would have been successful with the way Twitter is now with all the dirt sheets and, you know, oh, Austin's going to come out to the ring and spray Vince McMahon with a beer bath? Like, do you think Austin would have got to the polar heights as he is now with Twitter and social media and kayfabe kind of be broken? RJ?
Well, with the mentality that we know of him now, I think, you know, I think he would have still had some sort of, you know, line between, you know, kayfabe and, you know, not kayfabe, I guess you could say. You know, but, you know, it goes that old saying of, you know, you got to believe it to see it. And when you see Austin in the ring, you see Austin do a promo, you believe it, man. And, you know, it's, you believe 100% what he's saying. And that's how because I grew up watching him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you grew up believing every single word he said. And at that time, let's see, that was what, we'll say 97. I was, what, a whippersnapper at 13 years old. So, you know, I was all about seeing him beating the crap out of his boss because that's pretty much what I wanted him to do. But it's just, he was the man, you know, and I don't think any type of, you know, scenery change would have, you know, hindered that. The only thing that would have hindered it is obviously, you know, the way they would book him. But, you know, I think he was a pissed off SOB regardless. That was deep inside him.
Yeah.
He says a lot of that was because of the WCW firing. So in a way, WCW helped him with that, too.
Right. But you know, and even going to ECW, who would have known that would have happened, too? But I just think, you know, a lot of the characters, whomever you look at now, whatever company you look at, their character is basically them turned up to 10 or 11 or whatever, you know, amount you want to do it. And I think with Austin is, especially with Bischoff, because Bischoff has, you know, a great mind, like I said. It's just a matter of picking him and picking at him, trying to get that out of him. They would have got it out of him eventually. It was just a matter of, you know, to what extent. You know, would it have been, you know, a Hollywood Blondes kind of thing, being the best tag team of all time? and honestly, I could have seen that too, with Pillman the way that he was, you know, and Austin. That was a great combination. But, you know, Austin, you know, becoming a U.S. champion and heavyweight champion eventually, you know, I would have really, and honestly, hindsight, I really would have preferred him in WCW because that type of brawling mentality that he had would have fit perfect in WCW.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Shite, what do you think about, you know, keeping, do you think Austin's character would have worked in today's modern day with Twitter and all those dirt sheets and stuff?
Well, I actually, like, with the, when he got to that point where he was already, you know, after the promo and when he was established and he was fighting the boss and doing all of the things that he was doing at the time, you know, if there was a dirt sheet around at the time, like if there was Twitter and all those articles and things, you know, you can sit there and read an article about, oh, you know, he's going to come out and beer bath the corporation. And, you know, you sit there and you think about it and you'd be like, oh, I wonder how he's going to do that. And then I think a lot of it, though, would have been based on his execution of, like, because, you know, he executed all of his segments and promos and everything effortlessly and flawlessly. So if you would have read that and, you know, you would have been like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. But then his delivery, like RJ made a really good point on, you know, when he said something, it didn't matter if, like, you know, you knew how the business worked at that age or if you didn't, but you believed everything that he was saying, no matter what. And a lot of it was real, really there for him. But no matter what he was doing, you believed it. And you believed he was the disgruntled worker that was going to beat the crap out of his boss every day. And it was like, I think with his talent and his abilities, even in today's modern scenery and things, social media and all that was around back then, I still think he would have been what he was just as effectively as he was without all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, obviously, even today, he still gets massive pots because of who he is. You know, people enjoy the rough son of a bitch that comes to work and kicks his ass and says how he wants to his boss. I think anybody can relate with that, even if it's spoiler or not. I think his execution is perfect. I feel like Austin, anything he does, he masters it. And, you know, he makes all of us, like, hang on every word he says, because I think Austin truly believes all the actions he does. Like, the things he says, I think, like RJ said, that's Austin, that's Steve Anderson down inside. So, I guess the other thing, too, I was wondering, because, you know, whether it's true, there's true stories, everything, you know, he said Bischoff gave up on him. But I think Bischoff could have also incited, because Bischoff was a dickbag himself, guy like Vince is. Mm-hmm. I think Bischoff could have incited some of that in Austin himself in WCW. If he, you know, gave Austin a chance. Like I said, there's two sides to each story. But do you think Bischoff could have played a better version of Vince McMahon than Vince McMahon did with Austin, RJ?
For at that time or as long as Vince McMahon? Because I think Vince McMahon is pretty much going to be ruling the roost until he's like the old school Futurama. As long as he's a severed head in a little a jar or something. But
nice.
Yeah, Eric Bischoff is, given the right amount of talent and time, I really think that he could have gotten to that point of a Vince McMahon-esque company. But I just think that, you know, with WCW, the way that they were, he had to answer to too many people. Yeah. With Vince McMahon, he only had to answer to one person. That was Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can go even to the aspect of what if, you know, Eric Bischoff bought WCW. And
I'll do that real quick, since it all ties in.
Yeah.
I just want to share your thoughts. If you want to share your thoughts on, real quick, on what you think Bischoff led WCW did as an owner, compare it was. Share your thoughts since you brought that up. I'm curious on what you think about that real quick.
Honestly, I would have really, if Eric Bischoff, I believe that was right around, I want to say late 90s, I believe he came back and had the opportunity to buy WCW. I may be wrong, you know, give or take a year or two by late 90s. But, you know, and I think pretty much by then the writing was on the wall. But, you know, I would have really thought that, you know, Eric Bischoff would have put, you know, everything and anything to get Shawn Michaels in WCW. That would have been, you know, that, you know, stick, you know, in the tail of Vince McMahon saying, you know what, I have your top star. What are you going to do about it? What do I have to lose? You know what I mean? And, you know, Eric Bischoff, if he would have bought WCW, he would have basically gone balls to the wall, balls out, basically trying to get everybody and anybody in WCW. Pull all the strings that he had in Japan to get all the Japanese wrestlers over, because, you know, nowadays you look at Japanese, you know, New Japan, and it's like, you know, everybody's preferring to watch New Japan tonight, last night, when they're on the East Coast here. You know, I would have seen Bischoff going over to New Japan, going over to, you know, England, to the UK, get all those guys to come over, because you want that world dominance. And WCW already planted the seed. If you go back earlier on, they had a lot of those tournaments with New Japan. They had some of those guys coming over from the UK. You had Regal there. You had Dave Taylor there. You had Finlay there. That is a great, three great wrestlers that you can go out and say, hey, you know anybody over in the UK? Bring them over. You know what I mean? Get those guys to come down to WCW, like, you know, like a Michaels. Yeah, he might have been later in his career, but, you know, in 2001, he would have just came back. Because he didn't come back to WWF until after the invasion, until 2002 when he feuded with Triple H.
Yep.
Don't, you know, put all your money in front of him and say, hey, Sean, you know, hey, come down to WCW, stick it to Vince McMahon. And looking at it now, what would have stopped him? You know, granted, you could have Vince McMahon type of money, but, you know, you had, you know, Eric Bischoff with probably, you know, Ted Turner might not have been associated with him, but, you know, you still had a lot of money. You have to have a lot of money, especially nowadays, to be a wrestling promotion.
Absolutely.
And have that much pull, you know, whether it's AEW, whether it's Impact, whether it's ROH or New Japan or WWE, you have to have a lot of money to, you know, to get these guys signed.
Yeah.
No matter what. So if anybody says, oh, it's a poor, ROH is, you know, not making money, that's bullshit. You know, they're making money. But I would have really saw Eric Bischoff, you know, am I an Eric Bischoff mark? Yeah, probably. You know, am I a bigger Eric Bischoff mark than Paul Heyman? Yeah, probably. But Eric Bischoff I'm safe saying this now, is the only guy that could have taken out Vince McMahon, if that was possible. Looking at it now, I don't think it would have been possible because there was too many factors, you know, with WCW compared to WWF. Because WWF, they've been around since, you know, since day one. WCW, yeah, it was the NWA back in the 80s, and you had Flair and Steamboat and Race and Dusty and all that. So great, wonderful. But, you know, they, like I said before, wrestling fans in 90, we'll say 98, 2000, 2001, they couldn't give two shits about wrestling. They wanted, you know, they wanted Torrie Wilson coming out with nothing on and you know, Stacy Cleaver coming out with the shortest skirt possible. They couldn't care less about wrestling. You know what I mean? And oh, I was one of those fans, by the way, so I can't, you know, I can't really go too far off filter with that. But, you know, but the thing, it goes in spurts. You know, back in early 2000s, they wanted entertainment. Now they want wrestling. And I'm sure you go another 5-10 years down the road, they'll want entertainment again. So, you know, you have to go with the times. And unfortunately, you know, we're playing that what-if thing. But I still would have said Eric Bischoff would have, you know, been the only guy to ever come close to taking out Vince McMahon.
I mean, Bischoff had the mind for, he has the mind for the business, but I can see it. I feel like you said, he had too many people to answer to, but I also feel like he was a bit of a pushover, though. You know, he signed, or Ted Turner, whoever signed the Outsiders and Hulk Hogan, and they gave him everything those guys wanted, where it ended up handcuffing the company at the end.
Yeah.
Because everything was involved around the NWO. I think Bischoff made a few mistakes on that part. I think he's one of the greatest minds in wrestling like yourself. Do you think that the NWO thing, you know, going back, you know, it was great for the business, but do you think maybe that was one of Bischoff's, like, downfalls, kind of? Since I guess we just made this a Bischoff and Austin what if, but
yeah,
it works two to two because you have one side or the other. You say pretty much Austin says Bischoff's trash because, you know, he gave up on him. And if Bischoff says Austin's a terrible human being, that's why you pretty much fired him. He didn't like him. He didn't think Austin was a draw.
Right.
That's in Austin's words. And so do you think that Bischoff made, you know, the NWO was great and all, but do you think he maybe gave too much power and was a bit of a pushover then? As a, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? A GM or a commissioner? I can't remember what his name of the role was. Ted Turner was the owner. Bischoff, you know, overseed everything to wrestling related, obviously. So do you think maybe if Bischoff had a little more balls, they could still be a company? Like, I think he gave it to everything the NWO wanted. I think that was his downfall.
Well, I think NWO really killed, and NWO killed the NWO. Because it got too big. Yeah, if you would have kept it, you know, like the likes of DX, he kept it to 4 or 5 guys, maybe less, like 4. You know, you had Hogan and Hall, Nash, 6 or 6 or whatever you want to call them. I really thought that would have sufficed enough to, you know, take out, quote-unquote, the WCW or whomever. And you could still have those side, you know, those side factions, whether it be, you know, the Wolfpack or whether it be, you know, the LWO or the BWO or whatever. But to say that, you know, Bischoff, you know, got ahead of himself, I can see it. But, you know, I think it's too close to, you know, argue that, you know, the NWO really killed the NWO, because I really think that, you know, Hogan and Nash and Hall, you know, their egos got the best of them regardless whether it was Bischoff was there or not. I really would have thought that. And that, you know, I grew up watching those three guys, you know, so, and that's, you know, it's kind of hard for me to say, but I really would have thought that their egos would have gotten the best of them regardless whatever company they were in, because, you know, when you see a lot of this older talent, you can even compare it to nowadays. You see the older talent kind of, you know, trying to, you know, bleed the rest out of that, you know, that cash cow that is Vince McMahon, you know, and then you see this younger talent, and of course you can get pissed off and try to, you know, move them to the side. That's only natural to do that, but especially in WCW, that was, you know, it hit too close to home. And, you know, and like I said, the NWO pretty much killed the NWO. Eric Bischoff was just there to kind of assist it.
I think the NWO almost killed WCW, mm-hmm. honestly, because those three had too much stroke. I'm not talking about expanding like 20 guys. I'm talking about those three as a free man faction, had way too much stroke.
Oh, yeah.
If, you know, they didn't, if, you know, and RJ made a good point. A lot of older guys do that. You know, they come back for that big paycheck for mm-hmm. nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, that's absolutely nothing new. RJ is 100% right on that. You know, we're going to see about 5 of them on SmackDown this week.
Yep.
But
what was it? Goldberg's going to be there, right? He's going to headbutt. He's going to headbutt like the production truck, right?
Oh God.
So I don't know.
I'm sorry. I just despise Goldberg. I'm sorry. I'm not the only one, but
no,
I don't like him.
I've never been a fan of the guy whatsoever. And then when Triple H said back in the day, Goldberg's one of those guys to stub his toe and miss 6 weeks of work. And it's like, I completely agree with that. So no, you definitely are speaking truth here.
Well, no, he's the kind of guy that his wife would stub her toe and he'd miss 6 weeks. I know that's kind of an extreme, but hey, it is what it is.
This here is another segment of Ringside Rant by RJ. Hot takes for days on Bill Goldberg. Listen to his next show.
Oh my god, I could go for like 2 weeks, man.
I love it.
I love it. I love your humor. I think, you know, wrapping kind of, you know, what we're talking about is I think Austin kind of, you know, no one could to sum everything we've been talking up here, because it's like you can't predict anything that would happen. You couldn't predict that, you know, a couple of things would have went wrong and WCW was going to lose their company. You couldn't predict that Austin was going to become who became, because, you know, it was a wild chance that he even got that.
Right.
So it's, you know, the whole what if is just weird. It's crazy to think about and come down and talk with you guys about different kind of things, you know, that could have led to this, you know. Who would have knew one small mistake by Bischoff? And who knows if he was even a mistake, like RJ's been saying, you know. He has so much star power, you know, he can't have everybody at top. You know, that's one thing we see on Twitter is everybody wants their favorite guy on top. Right. Everybody wants this guy to get a top, you know, a push. Everyone wants this guy in a title picture. You know, that's wrestling Twitter in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But so it's hard here to say that, you know, looking back, hindsight, yeah, they should have pushed Stunning Steve Austin. But would Stunning Steve Austin became the same star that Stone Cold Steve Austin became? I think all of us can probably say no.
Yeah, I can definitely say no.
I mean, I think it would have been great tag team specialists with the Hollywood Blondes, like RJ hit on. I think they could have become one of the best tag teams ever. But, you know, that's the thing about these what ifs, is it makes you think about history, but then it's like, okay, this hindsight's this, but you got to look and take in this factor and that factor.
Right.
You know, WCW is very top-loaded. You know, Flair, Vader, the NWO eventually, you know, they came after, you know, Austin was gone. But I have a feeling even if Austin was still there, they would have been the top guys.
Yeah.
You know, Steamboat early on, you know, Big Show. That's the thing, though. Big Show, the Giant, got more championship time than Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Like, where in what world does that make sense?
Because he's 7 feet tall, you know, that's why.
I know. And that's the other hindsight. Who would have knew that WWE would have made him look like a goof at the end of his run.
Right.
You know, see, that's Bischoff right there. He used Big Show, the Giant, right.
Yeah,
wait, so. At the end of his run? You mean his whole run?
True. I'm trying to be nice here, but yes, his whole run.
I'll be that guy to call him out now. And don't get, I love the Big Show. I love Paul White, whatever you want to call him. The Giant. But, you know, they could have, and by they, I mean McMahon, could have booked him so differently. They're trying to book him as Andre the Giant's son. They're trying to book him as, you know, the Undertaker's brother. Who, whatever. I don't even care at this point. Just book him as himself.
Yeah.
You know, book him as the Big Show. You know, book him as that object that you can't beat, a la, you know, Brock Lesnar.
Andre the Giant back in the day. They booked Andre as Andre.
It was like,
exactly. And you booked him as that. You had him coming out of underneath the ring, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the Undertaker's thing.
Yeah.
That was the Kane's thing. Book him against those two. You know? And obviously they went on to that later on, but it's just, oh my God, he just totally screwed, and by he, I mean McMahon, screwed the pooch so many times on calling up WCW talent outside of Chris Jericho. You can't tell me that he did not screw over Booker T.
Oh, yeah.
DDP. The Big Show.
Oh, God. Like the biggest, like, I think when you talk about, like, you know, Vince screwing the pooch on so many WCW guys. I think, you know, Booker T was bad, but, and I don't mean bad as like a wrestler or anything. I mean bad as in like the way they used him.
They fed him to Hunter like a pack of wolves, and Triple H just went over every match, you know?
Yeah, and then it's like, but the biggest one that will always stand out to me was not only the Big Show, but also DDP. DDP coming into WWE as the stalker of the Undertaker's wife was the stupidest thing that I have, one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in all, and I've been watching wrestling since I was 5 years old. I'm 27 now. And all those years, that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And it was a complete, utter waste of, honestly, one of my favorite guys from WCW.
Okay, so I have to ask in agreement. Obviously, this went away from the what if. So what's the name of this podcast going to be? Because we're everywhere. It's awesome. We're talking wrestling.
Just title it RJ Shoots on Bill Goldberg. That's true. Now, okay. I'll take the heat. That's fine. I'll probably, that'll be my first superstar to block me on Twitter that, you know, that's kind of a big name. So
I mean, we could always call it, you know, we've done the what ifs for Austin, but we've done all these other what ifs. We could just call it the what ifs of the 90s, early 2000s that's wrestling.
Attitude Era what ifs, yeah.
Attitude
Era. Yeah.
Or Monday Night what ifs.
Exactly, because, you know, you talk about, you know, when Austin was really Stone Cold Steve Austin was, you're talking 96 to probably about 2001.
Yeah.
Obviously, and I'm exaggerating 2001, he was probably Austin until like 99, because, you know, the knee injuries came back to it. You know, his neck injuries came back to it, you know, when he had that incident with Owen. And, you know, it's just, man, and sidebar, that reveal that DDP was a stalker of Sarah. I was at that stupid Raw in Buffalo, and
are you serious?
I almost walked out of the damn building. I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Because I remember watching DDP before he was DDP, when he was a cigar, walking out to the ring with a cigar in his mouth and a girl on his arm. And it's like, oh, my God. You went awful. From, it's like going from, you know, Johnny B. Good to Mark Marrow to freaking Gold Dust. It's like, what the Christ? It's like, you know, You try to book these guys decently, and then you get like Gilbert coming out. It's like, what the freaking hell are you doing, man?
No, I mean, that's like the best sum up for it.
So, yeah. So obviously, you know, I was a WWF guy and not WCW, but as we just proved, Vince McMahon has, and Vince Russo, during the Attitude Era, had their fair share of fuck-ups. That is damn sure.
Yeah, it's like,
you know, some of these guys we're talking about, Bischoff could have probably booked better, too. So, I mean, they both have their goods and lows. That's the great thing about wrestling. It's us three, us marks, or whatever you want to call us, journalists, or
analysts.
Us three can sit here and whine about it 20 years later. That's what's great about wrestling.
Yeah, because like, You have all these moments from the years, all the decades that us three have been watching professional wrestling and seeing all these things happen here, there, everywhere. And you can sit here all these years later and still come up with, like, you know, what if this happened? What if they booked this guy better, or if they had done this? And that's the great thing about it.
Hindsight.
Yeah, because see, this is what kind of makes me mad right now. Is I remember watching wrestling when you two were in your friggin' diapers, for God's sake. I go all the way back to the early 90s. I'm an old bastard. I'm like, you know, I'm not old, but I'm 35. But I'm like, I remember watching wrestling when, you know, when Hogan was actually like drawing money. And, you know, to see it in hindsight now, you go from, you know, I have a 7-year-old son, and he's watching. I started him watching wrestling now, and now he's basically what I was when I was 7. You know, you don't really care about the wrestlers. You care about what they're wearing. It's like, what the freaking? He's like, he's watching New Japan. He's watching Okada come out with all this glitz and glamour with all these robes and the shiny stuff. It's like, what? Oh, why? Oh, I like his gear. Oh, what the freaking? Oh, you gotta be kidding me. You know,
that's awesome that you have him started on New Japan early, by the way. So they all get sucked into the current product.
I will say I've never forced him to watch a Goldberg match until he was actually punished. But he's actually, to be honest with you, I actually took him to a live show here in Rochester, and he's actually, he asked me like 3 times if Brock Lesnar was going to show up, and I'm like, bud, it's a house show. He's the farthest away from here as possible. He's probably in Canada sipping on a $30 scotch right now. So
probably.
it's fun to look at it now, a little bit older than you guys. It's, my hairline shows it, but, and see the way that the business turned out, because there's just so much out there now, and I go back to watching and remember watching, a lot of these events on VHS tape.
Oh yeah. So
for those of you that don't know what VHS tapes are, Google it.
I'll say, please Google the glory days of having to hook up the VCR and put in the VHS, please.
Oh God.
Now, do you guys remember going, I don't know if, are you guys familiar with the rental company Blockbuster?
Yes.
Yes, Oregon. Okay. Where I live, Oregon holds the home of the last ever Blockbuster in Bend. Grew up going there.
So I used to go on Friday after school. I got probably about 3 VHS tapes, and my buddy taught me the old way. You put athletic tape over the actual the film, and then you record it, and then you give it back. Because it doesn't, the copyright thing, it doesn't take on, you putting out another tape. So you wouldn't get caught, quote unquote, copyright it. So you would actually, record the 3 tapes and then sell it rental wise. I'd sell it for $5 a pop for a day. And if you wanted another day, it's another $5. So, off one tape, I'd make $20.
Nice.
That's awesome, man.
Nice. So, you know, it's a waste of, now you can't really do that because everything's out there anyways. But, wrestling was good to me. So I'm sort of good back to it unless your name's Bill Goldberg.
I love it.
Oh, God. I would love to see you meet Goldberg face to face one day just to see how that would go.
Yes, sir. How are you? Good. Very, very nice to meet you. Oh, you have a little mark on your forehead. Did you, did you bump your head on something? Oh, wait, no. Okay, good. Dude, I would totally, my ass would pucker so much because I would be so scared out of my wit to meet him. To be honest with you, because I'm just probably.
It's just like Alan the Shipes over here. He talks so bad about Brock Lesnar, but if he saw Brock Lesnar face to face, he would not do a thing.
Oh, no. It's like, because I've said many a times, Dustin can attest to this. I've said, how my disdain for Lesnar over the years, and it's like, oh, I'd love to, meet Lesnar somewhere and talk so much crap to him and, get in an altercation with him because I know his weak spot so I could take advantage of it. But then it's like, if I was to ever, if I was at, WrestleMania week or something and we were at a bar and up walks Brock Lesnar next to me, hell, my dumbass would probably sit there and cower and offer to buy him, every drink he wanted because it's Brock freaking Lesnar.
Probably, you know, and the only drink he'd probably drink is probably 4, solid egg yolks and over milk or something. And, but interesting side note, I do have a personal story from Brock Lesnar. My buddy actually met him at an airport and, he was a big fan of his. And he's like, I know, this is his whole heel thing. And he's like, I really want a picture of you. I don't know, I don't know what to do. You're a heel. And we knew he was a heel. And he's like, okay. He looks around, taps my buddy on the shoulder. He's like, come here. Goes around the corner, takes a picture with him, smiles, signs his autograph. Okay, get out of here, kid.
What? Wow.
Brock Lesnar actually showed kindness to somebody?
Holy crap.
He showed kindness to somebody. obviously the only kindness Bill Goldberg shows to anybody is when The Undertaker saves his ass during a match when he knocks himself silly on a freaking ring post. So, you really thought that I couldn't really incorporate Goldberg in any part of this conversation, but I did.
This is great.
I love it.
You know, man, you know, it just, oh, God, I'm sure I'm going to get crap for this. But anyways, it's been fun. If anybody wants another co-host for their show, I'm sure I'm going to be out on the free agency very, very soon because of this shoot on Goldberg. So, but yeah, it's like I said, it's just fun to see, you know, what Austin would have been. You know, we'll actually go back to the topic on hand now instead of me shooting on Goldberg. Austin would have been the Hall of Famer that he is, and the type of, you know, entertainment superstar that he is now? Would he would have had, you know, this beer that he has? Would he have the show that he has? Would he have the podcast that he has? You know, and, you know, I would have still put him at WCW, but kept him really at that mid-level superstar and had those classic matches, you know, with the likes of, with the U.S. title, with, you know, Chris Benoit or Malenko or Jericho or Arn Anderson. Man, what could have been if you had the two guys that broke their necks at the same time in the same ring? You know?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And, you know, would have been the ageless wonders that they would have been. And, you know, and who would have known? You know, you had Austin stay in WCW until it closed in 01. Who would have not known that he wouldn't have jumped ship over to WWE at that time and made a bigger name for himself? You know, because, you know, he started, you know, as the Hollywood Blondes. You know, WCW, NWA had those great runs against, you know, Dustin Runnels and Dusty Rhodes, Lex Luger, Ric Flair. I would have preferred that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So, yeah, to close it up, I kind of agree. If he stayed in WCW, I think he, which was the what if at the end, and we got carried away onto our whole wrestling conversation, which is what we do here, because we love wrestling. But I think he would have stayed mid-card, probably. Like you said, I just don't think they ever were going to have plans for him, which I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm on the same boat as him becoming a bigger star after WCW went down. He could have been, though. That's the thing. That's another, like, what if right there that could be a whole other conversation, I'm sure, right, somewhere. But I think if he stayed, he would probably been in mid-card. I don't think he would have ever got the beer, you know, he has now, or the podcast. I think he would have just been another, like, he'd have been, like, probably a Hall of Fame wrestler, because he'd probably been one of the top-tier mid-cards of all time, probably one of the best ones, just because of who he is and his personality.
Yeah.
I think he would always be near the top of the card, but maybe never the main event.
Right.
That's kind of where I'd stay if he stayed with WCW. Do you have any wrapping up thoughts on that, Shipster?
No, it's like, I agree 100% on your point. It's like, if he'd have stayed in WCW until they went down, and whether he came to WWE or not, or wherever his career went after that, I think he would have ended his career being looked at as one of the greats of the business, but not the what he is now, as one of
immortalized.
He's easily one of the Mount Rushmores of wrestling nowadays, and I think he would have been considered a great, but not truly one of the greatest at that point.
So I guess I have two final things since RJ's here. I'd like to share this with all our guests. I said with Kevin last week, I love doing this with RJ and our guests, because this is exactly what United by Wrestling, this is why we created this podcast. And I hope people start figuring that out, is we sit here and we talk wrestling. We love it or not, agree with opinions or not, we talk wrestling, we shoot the shit, because I think the pro wrestling community, even though there's some very toxic ones,
oh yeah,
is the best community out there. And we unite ourselves on this podcast by our love of wrestling. Hits the United by Wrestling. So I really do thank you for being on here, RJ. It really does mean a lot to step up and be a guest for us, since you're literally our second ever one. So,
well, I appreciate that. I'm sure I can't do any better than Kevin, or probably a lot better than Kevin. So.
No, you're great. You're great.
No, it's been a true pleasure, RJ. We really appreciate it.
So if you want to plug your, you know, YouTube, Twitter, all that one more time, I guess we'll sign out.
Sure. First and foremost, I just want to say, Bill Goldberg, I absolutely love you as a professional wrestler. You are by far the best wrestler of all time. please don't kill me. anyways, on a lighter note, you can follow me on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. I come out with interviews every Tuesday, pretty much wherever you get podcasts, Google Play, Anchor, iTunes, Spotify. Those are probably the big ones. Pretty much, I do looking forward to having on a lot of good guests coming up. I'm talking to, like I said, a comedian, Corey Ryan Forrester, tomorrow. I was recording, so trying to get a different view on wrestling. Last week I had on Doug Markham, who's an MLW referee. So that was definitely, you know, kind of just to sit down and kind of, you know, talk shop a little bit with, you know, a lot of these guys and gals. Hopefully gals coming on soon. Haven't really had any luck with women's wrestlers. I don't know what my issue is. Maybe it's like Bill Goldberg or something. I don't know.
Oh my God.
God, I'm going to die. But anyways, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. Follow me across all your major podcasting platforms. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/ringsiderant. And hopefully I will not die by the hands of Bill Goldberg. And I'd love to be on again soon.
I appreciate it. All right. Well, I think that's it for, I guess this is now going to be called Monday Night What Ifs, because we pretty much covered the whole attitude of Monday Night Wars in this podcast.
But, Monday Night What Ifs. That's a good one.
Featuring Steve Austin and Goldberg. But all right. On that note, stay golden, my friends.
Deuces.